We begin things this afternoon, our weekly opportunity to talk FCS football with the nation's foremost expert. It's Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Rich. How are you, sir?
Well, I want to thank you publicly for giving me the opportunity to get in your media FCS bracket so I could publicly show my complete lack of knowledge.
Yeah, but you're not the only one. We're all in it together.
What did you make of the opening weekend?
Oh, man. Well, I got two of the eight wrong myself. And I guess the other part of it is just the score differential was so much greater for many of those games than I thought it would be. I didn't expect blowouts the way that they came in some of those matchups. But Southeastern Louisiana beating Villanova, I would never imagine that, but they sure did it in stunning style, and Jason Virgil sure looked good at quarterback. That was probably the biggest takeaway I had this past weekend.
Yeah, that one surprised me. Kennesaw beating Wofford was a complete shock to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I would have said complete shock, mostly because those two are so similar in what they do.
Right, right.
In fact, I know I picked the score in the 20s, and it was 28-21 Kennesaw. I may have had it 28-21 Wofford because they both just siphoned the life out of each other with the triple option. And that matchup, you kind of knew would be a coin flip just because they slow each other down. And Kennesaw, yeah, we've all questioned their schedule strength, and rightfully so. But that was clearly their best win of the year, and now we get to see if they can do it again to a Big Sky team. I don't think that'll happen, but yeah, that was the other one I got wrong too.
Well, everybody's had their bye week off, and now we're down to the final 16. And let's take a walk through the second round games this weekend, and we'll do them in the order that they'll be played, starting Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern time. James Madison out of the CAA, the overall number two, plays host to a Monmouth team that looked pretty impressive last week, but I don't think it will be quite the same outcome this time for Monmouth.
Yeah, you know, when James Madison has rushed for 36 touchdowns this year. I did a feature on him this week, and that's why I have these stats in my head. I promise I'm not some kind of, you know, encyclopedia or anything. But they've only given up six rushing touchdowns. Mm. And that's really, Monmouth has the nation's leading rusher, Pete Guerrero. He's just about 100 and change away from a 2,000-yard season. I mean, he's good. And it was funny because a lot of JMU fans were clamoring on Twitter this past weekend that, you know, they, of course, were watching Monmouth because they were curious. They were like, man, that Pete Guerrero, if he can run the ball, man, he would fit in well with us, you know. So they run the ball well, but James Madison doesn't allow much running the ball well. So that puts you on your heel, and it forced you to throw a lot. And JMU, as we know, has Rashad Robinson in the game back in the secondary. So I think the defense of JMU is going to be the difference here. And it may not be close. We'll see. But I think that's pretty easy to pick the winner in.
Jackrabbits of South Dakota State hosting Northern Iowa. They were impressive in the opening game, but that Northern Iowa team, very different once they get out of the Unidome.
Yeah, they played pretty decent defense against most teams, but, you know, we can't forget that it was just 3 weeks ago in Brookings, South Dakota, that South Dakota State beat UNI by, what, 30, 35 points?
Mm.
I mean, nothing's really changed, you know. I mean, South Dakota State had already lost its quarterback, I think, the week before, NDSU in the big national matchup on ESPN game day. So they were already hampered by the injury situation when they played Northern Iowa the first time. Nothing's changed. So, you know, I think the writing's on the wall with that one.
I have no idea what Illinois State or Central Arkansas is going to do. I've been wrong about both of them all year, including last week. So I turn to you. What will happen when these two get together?
I don't know. Come on. No, that's probably the best matchup. I really don't know. Illinois State is from a tougher conference. That was an amazing dominating effort last weekend against Chino. I watched the whole thing, and it was funny. Like Sam Herder and I, you know, who I work with at Eurosports, we were talking on our podcast this week about how it was kind of like he came, he saw, he conquered, and it's Illinois State doesn't have a quarterback right now.
Right,
they're injured, but they have this running back, James Robinson, who's going to get drafted this year, probably a day three draft pick, which is good for a running back these days. And it was like, okay, we know what you're going to do. You're going to hand the ball to James about 90% of the snaps, and you're going to play good defense and use your line and just dare them to stop you. And they couldn't. And my only question now is Central Arkansas good enough to overcome that? Because Illinois State is a good program. Black and blue, you know, they only threw the ball 7 times. If they are forced to throw the ball, they're going to have problems. But they didn't have to against Eno. Will they have to on the road against Central Arkansas? And that's a big question.
Southeast Louisiana got that big win thanks to a missed extra point. And, oh, I don't know, maybe a little help from the officials when they beat Villanova. But, boy, playing at Montana, that's a different breed of cat. I remember when Maine was out there back 12 or 13 years ago. And I will say that the 25, 26,000 out there watching the Grizz play were probably louder than we played in front of 78,000 in Nebraska. That's a tough place to be on the road.
Yeah, that's a very interesting comparison. They obviously have a great home atmosphere. There's no question. They've played some big games at home this year and done very well. My only question, look, and I've said this on a couple shows this week, including our own podcast. Jason Virgil, the quarterback at Southeastern Louisiana, I covered him before I was at Eurosports for a recruiting website covering the SEC. And he should have gone to Mississippi State. He did get play. And he showed it. He almost threw for 500 yards against Villanova last weekend. And he has some moxie to him, I'm telling you. And I'm curious because this is another matchup that could be a big shootout, just like Villanova was. Because Montana can, you know, flip it around too, but sometimes they'll give up 28, 35 points in a win. So could Southeastern Louisiana go up there, you know, with their LSU transfers and their Fresno State transfers, and could they go up there and make it interesting? I'm starting to think possibly they could. So, but the question is, what does that atmosphere play into? Mm. That's big.
We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports here. Let's move to the other Montana team, Montana State, hosting Albany. They were mighty impressive when they dispatched Central Connecticut fairly easily. They've got a great quarterback in Jeff Undercuffler. But again, this is, I think, a big step up for them against Montana State.
Yeah, this is a little different situation, I think, because Montana State can clamp down on you defensively, and they run the ball well. Now, they don't have as good a situation at quarterback as Montana does, but they do a lot of the other nitty-gritty things really well. And, I love Jeff Undercuffler. You know, we exchange messages all the time. Great kid. But I think that this atmosphere, because Montana State's no slouch atmosphere either. You know, they're going to have 20,000 there too. And I think that is going to be a little bit too much for Albany. I think that they come down in this one. But, boy, that was one of the blowouts I was expecting last round. Central Connecticut State's a tough team. Albany gave them all they wanted, so we'll see. But I would think that that's pretty much a foregone conclusion.
I think this could be a very interesting matchup too. We'll find out just how good Kennesaw State is when they go out to Weber State. We were out there with the Black Bears last year. Maine was fortunate to get a win. That's also a tough place to play, and it can be cold out there and a little intimidating when you're looking around at all those mountains.
Yeah. Wow. Well, That win last year for Maine was such a statement, because Weber State, you might be able to make the argument that that's been the third or fourth best FCS program over the last 3 years.
I agree.
You know, when you put it in the collective, because they almost had James Madison 2 years ago. We've talked about that before. They're good. You know, I don't think Kennesaw State has any chance in this game. I think Weber State's defense is going to clamp down, but doesn't it tell you more and more about how special a season Maine had last year, because that was a tough win.
Speaking of what could be a tough win, Nicholls got their work cut out for them this week against the number one in the country, North Dakota State, in the Fargo Dome, where nobody beats them.
No. Yeah, boy, Nicholls got the short straw on this one, didn't they? And the thing is, if Nicholls had the right matchups, and I think you could say this about a couple teams, if they had the right matchups, they might be a quarterfinalist, but they're not going to be this year. And it's kind of sad for them, because they really do have a nice senior nucleus. And, Keith Breakup in Fargo, who we do his show, and I think you guys are connected for, he brought up the fact that, Nicholls has developed one of the best cultures or the chemistry, that and one of the best you see in the Southland, because they actually have built things with freshmen. Not all those JUCO transfers, but like freshmen, and built them into a special group. Coach Rebo has done that, but it's just going to be too tough to go to the Fargo Dome and scratch the surface with that. That one's a foregone conclusion also, I would say.
And finally, I was so impressed with Austin Peay last week, Javon Craig, a terrific quarterback. They were very, very impressive. That was another blowout I didn't expect, up against another tough Big Sky team in Sacramento State.
Yeah, and this one is looking, the more I look at it, the more interesting it gets, because you look at the statistical matchups. Now, the OVC isn't going to be considered as tough a gauntlet as the Big Sky, plus Sacramento State played two, FBS teams pretty tough. They held Arizona State to 19 points. They played Fresno State tough. So on paper, you think this would be a mismatch, but Austin Peay has played really well for about a month and a half. I mean, really, really well. And they have dominated people for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, they've outscored their opponents like 130-20, including the Furman game. So, I can tell you, the show that almost made me late for you was, I was doing it with Justin Swallows down in Clarksville, Tennessee. He said it's like a small town with high school football, Clarksville is right now. They are stoked and excited because they've never done anything like this. They've never played in December, and they've never been at the 10-win threshold. And they can't wait for 9 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night when they go to Sacramento State. That one will stand alone on the schedule. We can all watch it without any of the others going on, and we'll see what APSU can do on the road in California, of all places.
Yeah, it's another one of the great stories from FCS football. Looking forward to it this weekend. And look, I've set my bar really low. If I can get 5 of the 8 right, I'll consider it a huge success.
There's the temptation to go with all 8 seeds this weekend, but I think if we do that, we might get paid back on the other end for being that brazen and just dismissing all the first round winners. So we'll see, won't we?
Absolutely. Hey, Brian, we appreciate it. As always, enjoy the games, and we'll check in with you again next Thursday afternoon.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
Brian McLaughlin, Hero Sports, talking FCS football with us here on Downtown.